Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. The time is 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you are tuned in to the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir, for this normally one-hour block of time when we come together for prayer, supplication, intercession, prayer warfare on behalf of our wayward, unsaved, and prodigal sons and daughters. Every week we come together for mutual edification, mutual strengthening. There are many of us who have sons and daughters who are either backslidden. Maybe they were in the faith at one time. Maybe they were active in the church. And they've wandered away for one reason or another. Maybe perhaps out of peer pressure. Maybe they've lost interest in the things of eternity. You know, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners, or listen to the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, many of our prodigals are listening to the counsel of the world and living lives in accordance with the world's principles. Many of our prodigals are keeping company now with unsaved people, maybe following their ways, following their habits, going to the same places, doing the same things, talking the same way, thinking the same thoughts. And many of our prodigals are maybe even sitting in the seat of the scornful. They've backslidden so far that they themselves perhaps are ridiculing the things of God. Some of our unsaved sons and daughters, in their unsaved state, may be cynical or haphazard, or maybe they themselves ridicule the things of God, not believing in hell or heaven, not believing in the devil, perhaps believing that they're good enough to get to heaven, maybe. A variety of thoughts and frames of mind. The enemy will use anything. Atheistic beliefs, religions, world religions, Eastern religions. Many of our prodigals are involved in Eastern religions or crystals or perhaps New Age philosophies. Anything. Satan will use anything at his disposal to keep our prodigals away from the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." And the enemy will use any tool at his disposal to keep our prodigals from the truth. Jesus is Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many of our prodigals are perhaps involved in drugs or alcohol, alternative lifestyles, illicit living lifestyles, partying, not giving a second thought to the things of eternity. You know, I often say that we are living in prophetic times. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Now, we as believers are looking at all these signs that are occurring in the world today. Our salvation is drawing near. And the next event on the prophetic biblical calendar, the rapture, is imminent, I believe. It could happen tonight. Many of our wayward and prodigal sons and daughters are going about their business as it was in the days of Noah, living their lives and doing the things that they want to do, uncaring about what is happening in the world today, perhaps not even drawing a connection between the Word of God and the prophetic writings and what's happening. We need to make our prodigals aware that what is happening in the world today was predicted long ago in the Word of God. And that's what this podcast is all about. It came about approximately 2 years ago now, out of my own burden for the salvation, for the deliverance and salvation of my own adult son and daughter. In thinking about the rapture, in thinking about entering into a Christless eternity, I would constantly pray for my son and daughter that they would surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. And it was several months back when my son, after having a personal crisis in his life, came to me. While he was parked in my driveway, him and I sat down. And after a long discussion, my son surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, accepting Christ as his Lord and Savior. He read the Bible. He knew the scriptures. He has family who are ministers. But he did never, ever accepted Christ. He had a form of godliness, but he denied the power thereof. There are many like that. You can be a prodigal in church. Not every prodigal is in a bar or a crack house or on the street or living an illicit lifestyle. You can be a prodigal in church. There are many, many prodigals active in the choir, active in youth activities, who come to church regularly. But they have never had an encounter with the Savior. They have never surrendered their lives completely to Jesus Christ as Lord. Not just as Savior, but as Lord of their lives. And I've said it many times before. You have that phrase that's getting said, inviting Christ into your life. I have never liked that phrase. And I'll tell you why. I can invite you into my home. And you're a guest. But it's still my home. I hold the deed to it. You're just a guest. I still make the rules. I can invite you into my car. But you're just a passenger. I'm the one that's still driving. And the title to the car is still in my name. No, Jesus Christ does not want to be a guest in your life. He wants the deed to your life, and he wants to be the one who calls the shots in your life. Jesus Christ does not want to be a passenger in your life. He wants to be in the driver's seat. He wants the title to your life. So we pray for our prodigals that their eyes would be opened, any hardened hearts would be softened, any closed minds would be illuminated to the truth of the gospel. Many of our prodigals indeed do have hardened hearts and do not want to hear it. We try to witness to them. We try to talk to them. We invite them to church. Many of our prodigals politely say no. Others become extremely hostile and don't want to be bothered with the things of God. And I myself, after my own son accepted Christ, now I am praying continuously and fasting. And trusting God for the salvation, the deliverance and salvation, mind you, for my adult daughter who is not saved. And I know the Lord will do his work. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I do firmly believe it is going to happen. And I pray for her daily, pleading the blood of Christ over her and asking the Lord to do what is necessary, so that she surrenders her life to Christ, and that her name is written in the book of life, and that she will be harpazoed, raptured, when the blessed event takes place. What I want for my daughter, all of you listening, who have unsaved, backslidden, and wayward sons and daughters, want for them as well. You don't want them to enter a Christless eternity. You don't want to see them enter an eternity without the Lord. The lake of fire is real. And the rapture could happen tonight. We want them, when we get raptured, we want to see them coming up in the clouds next to us. When we have the marriage supper of the Lamb with our Lord, we want them to be seated near us. We want them to have the joy of salvation. We want them to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And so we need to pray and fast and trust the Lord. We need to be salt and light. We need to live lives worthy of our calling before our prodigals. We need to preach the word in season and out to our wayward sons and daughters. This is a live podcast, and we welcome your participation in it. There is still time to get your prayer request in. All you have to do is you can type it in if you're listening on the Podbeam app, and we'll see it on our screen. It can be detailed, or it can be ambiguous. It could be an unspoken request. We don't want to betray anyone's confidentiality. If you have a prodigal that you want us to pray for, just mention it. The Lord knows the details. We don't need to know them. We welcome your participation. If you have an insight you'd like to share, we'd love to hear it. If you have a scripture you'd like to share that's been a blessing to you, that has been a comfort and an encouragement, we'd love for you to come on live. Click on the phone icon on the Podbean app, and we will plug you in live. I'm not a technical person. My brother Jamie is the tech man, and I see he is tuning in tonight. God bless you, brother Jamie. We pray for you daily. Your strength in the Lord. He is our tech man. He showed me everything I needed to know on how to work this thing. So if you call in live, if you click on the phone icon, I will connect you live, and we would love to have you live on the air. If you have an insight you'd like to share, a scripture you'd like to share, maybe a testimony on how the Lord is moving in your life or the life of your prodigal, something you have to say, something you have to share, can strengthen and edify and comfort someone who's tuning in live. We have a variety of listeners who are tuning in from all over. We have listeners in New York State, right where we are, California. We welcome listeners in Colorado, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We welcome Parents of Prodigals listeners in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, and Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, Virginia, and West Virginia, New Jersey, and Montana, Illinois, and Minnesota, and Louisiana. We have listeners in New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island, Indiana, North and South Carolina, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, and most recently, Nebraska, the great state of Nebraska. We welcome all of you to the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Internationally, we have listeners in Mexico. We have listeners who are tuning in Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, Germany, New Zealand, Zimbabwe. We have listeners in Tanzania and Japan, Russia and Ireland. And most recently, I observed today, the Netherlands. We have Parents of Prodigals listeners in the Netherlands. God bless all of you for tuning in to this podcast. Now, because of time differences in different time zones, many people will be downloading this podcast at a later time. It's a completely different time in the Philippines, so they may not be able to tune in or may not be tuning in live now. They'll be downloading it. Some people are in the same time zone, but maybe they're at work or fulfilling other obligations and responsibilities, and they cannot tune in live, and they'll be downloading it as well. That's fine, too. It bears repeating constantly, and I'll say it again. The Spirit of God can work just as powerfully in a download as he can live. You don't have to be listening live for the Holy Spirit to move as you're tuning in. And so, again, we welcome you to this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Join me before we enter into our devotional time for an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person who has tuned in, every parent of a son or daughter who is not saved, backslidden, wayward, and we think about them and we want them to be saved. We long for them, for their names to be written in the book of life. And so I pray that this podcast is a blessing and an encouragement to whoever is tuning in either live or after they download it, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit move mightily in every listener, edifying, comforting, encouraging, strengthening, teaching, Lord God. Whatever needs to be done, Lord God, bring it to pass. Lord, we just lift up in prayer every listener that they receive what is being said. At your word fall on good ground, bearing spiritual fruit. Put burning coals on my lips so that I speak as an oracle of you, Heavenly Father. We just commit this time into your hands, Lord God. We worship you and we praise you. And if there are any prodigals tuning in right now, if there are any young people or unsaved people who are tuned in, Lord, touch their hearts. Open up their eyes. Soften their hearts. Open their ears. Time is short, Lord God. Shorter than ever before, I believe. Your coming is near. And so we commit this podcast to you, Heavenly Father. We don't want to take it for granted that maybe the sun is shining or things are going well. When people say peace and safety, then you will be coming. We need to have our lamps filled with oil, prepared for your arrival, Lord Jesus. Again, let your anointing be on this podcast, Lord God. We praise you and we worship you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the title of tonight's devotional is simply Waiting for Our Prodigal's Return. Waiting for Our Prodigal's Return. And we're going to do something a little different this evening. Our devotional is based on both a text of Scripture, Psalm 27, verse 14, which I will give you a moment to find in your Bibles. And it's also based on a contemporary Christian song that has been a blessing to me in the course of time. Well, I myself am waiting for the deliverance and salvation of my prodigal daughter. Now, while I have shared my thoughts on this particular song in the past and how it has blessed me, it flares up again and again as a source of encouragement, usually when I reach a rough patch in my waiting period, as I'm sure many of you have experienced as well. And this message of encouragement, which can be found in both the scripture text and in this song, is clear, which we'll be talking about in a moment. But first, Psalm 27, verse 14. And I'll be reading the original text directly from a Hebrew interlinear. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on Yahweh, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And wait, I say, on Yahweh. That word Yahweh being the Hebrew name for our most holy God. There are different opinions about what the background of this psalm is, although the majority believe it to have been written while David was hiding from King Saul, who was chasing after him to kill him. And whatever the background is, there is no doubt, as you read the psalm, that David is experiencing anxiety and distress in a situation that on the surface appears without hope and beyond remedy. But despite how he may be feeling regarding his circumstances, David affirmed the Lord as the source of his confidence, relying on God for the strength that within himself he did not have. And that many times is the case with us as well, when we are praying for our prodigal sons and daughters and dealing with them on a daily basis. And this brings me to the Christian song by a singer named John Waller. The song's title is I'm Waiting. Perhaps many of you have heard it. Now, copyright laws forbid me from playing the song itself, and I will not burden you with making the attempt to sing it. But I want to recite the lyrics to that song in connection to our devotional scripture this evening. Here are the lyrics. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord. And I am hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord. Although it is painful, but patiently, I will wait. I will move ahead bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I am waiting, I will serve you. While I am waiting, I will worship. While I am waiting, I will not faint, and I'll be running the race even while I wait. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am peaceful. I'm waiting on you, Lord. Although it is not easy, but faithfully, I will wait. Yes, I will wait. And I will move ahead bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I am waiting, I will worship. While I am waiting, I will not faint, and I'll be running the race even while I wait. And the chorus repeats itself later in the song. You know, both our scripture text and lyrics to this song provide what I believe is the inward and the outward remedy against the fleshly and demonic and satanic attacks of anxiety and doubt when the enemy is working to make us lose heart and become discouraged and doubt God's care and his ability to rescue our prodigals from the enemy's camp. Now, throughout the psalm, as David is pouring out his heart about his situation and his trust in the Lord, he sums up what he had resolved to do while watching for God's answer to come to pass. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord, our text says. First, the inward response. The text says, wait. Wait for the Lord. In English, waiting is a passive activity, but not in Hebrew. While there are several words in Hebrew for wait, the particular word in Hebrew for wait in our scripture text is the word korva. Korva. It is an active word which conveys the idea of anticipation and expectancy that while you don't know when and you don't know how, something is definitely going to happen. The word quava conveys the idea of a twisting or binding. Hebrew and Greek, I often say during my studies, are picture languages, with the words conveying pictures. And the word quava is the picture of making rope. The ancient method of making rope is still used today. Hundreds of thin strands of fabric, each one alone could easily be broken. But when tightly bound together, they form a rope that cannot be broken. And so in Psalm 27, verse 14, this waiting is not just sitting idly back, twiddling our thumbs, but it is a process of binding yourself to God. And the more you bind yourself to God, the stronger you become. And so we do not just sit idly by, hoping that maybe God will answer our prayers for our prodigal salvation. We anticipate and watch for the answer that we know will come. We can trust and believe that our prodigals will come to the foot of the cross. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The second step inwardly is to have courage. And that word courage means to fortify, to be confident. It is a call to action. It is the Hebrew word chazak, chazak, and it is made up of three Hebrew letters, each one conveying a clearer picture of the definition. The Hebrew letters are chet, which refers to a fence or a hidden room, which is cut off and protected like a sanctuary. The second letter is zayin, zayin, which is a picture of a harvesting tool used to cut off or to prune or to harvest grain. And the last letter is kuf, kuf, which refers to the back of the head, also meaning behind or the least. The message in this is this, that while we may feel cut off from God sometimes and that he will not answer our prayers regarding the deliverance and salvation of our prodigals, God's faithfulness can surround us and protect us like a fence and fortify and strengthen our trust. And the third inward step is, and he shall strengthen your heart. Our text says that God will strengthen our hearts. That Hebrew word for strengthen is the word in Hebrew, ametz. Ametz. It means to have inner strength, to have renewed vitality. It was the word that was used when soldiers would be preparing for battle, putting on their armor, and the commanders would hype up the soldiers in preparation for the battle, reassuring them of their fighting ability to prevail against the enemy and reassuring them of certain victory. Only the Spirit of God can work within us to help us wait, to have courage, and to be strengthened in heart as we look for the deliverance and salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters. But what about the outward response? What should we actually be doing outwardly? Well, the lyrics to that John Waller song gave me the answer, which I need to share with you this evening. And those lyrics are as follows. While we are waiting, while I'm waiting, I will serve you. We need to keep fulfilling the Great Commission to our prodigals. Preach the word in season and out. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. We need to keep being salt and light to our unsaved sons and daughters. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Don't allow the enemy or your flesh to discourage you from service. But like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that word ye being in the plural, meaning it is something we are all supposed to be doing. Our prodigal sons and daughters. We're supposed to be salt and light, doing the work of the Lord on a continuous basis, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances. And the third outward step is, while I'm waiting, I will worship. While I am waiting, I will worship. Believe me, I know that there are many times when it's difficult. But don't allow the enemy or your flesh to keep you from acknowledging who God is, regardless of how you feel or how the situation with your prodigals looks. It's during these times when I have given God the sacrifice of praise, truly a sacrifice, because my flesh did not feel like praising God. If you can't find the words and your emotions are overwhelming you, open your Bible and recite a praise psalm. Put on worship music, or do both. I myself have had to do this on many occasions. Bless the Lord at all times, and let his praise continuously be in your mouth. You know, the late Christian author Merlin Carruthers, in his best-selling book, Praise Works, wrote, and I'm quoting, "The temptation to keep our eyes on our circumstances rather than worshiping God is often overpowering and overwhelming. As a result, we amplify the situation. A flick of a switch and light can flood a dark room. When we worship God, the despair of inward darkness from discouragement is gone, and the assurance that he is in control floods our souls. And then the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Wow. And then we had the part of the chorus that says, "While I'm waiting, I will not faint, and I will run the race, even while I wait." That word faint is also translated in several Bible versions as lose heart. Lose heart. It is the Greek word ekluo. Ekluo. It means to become discouraged, to lose your motivation, to continue on, to be depleted of all strength. It was the picture word that was used to describe reapers in the harvest field who would collapse after being overcome by the heat or from exhaustion. Earlier lyrics in this song, I'm Waiting, mentioned moving ahead, bold and confident, and taking every step in obedience. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and fellow parents of prodigals, I share all this with you because I myself still have a prodigal child whom I do not want to see enter a Christless eternity or get left behind when the rapture takes place. which I indeed believe is imminent. And during my time of waiting on God's timing, there have been many times when I have become discouraged, lost my desire to serve, and have even lost heart. It is during those times when I have had to do what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when the Bible says he was greatly distressed. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so I, in turn, want to encourage you when the enemy tries to wear you down with doubt or discouragement about whether your unsaved sons and daughters will come to Christ, or whether God even cares, or whether he is able to bring it to pass. Put that song by John Waller on, "I'm Waiting," and read Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be strong and have good courage, and wait on the Lord." And while you are waiting, let's all of us, while we're waiting, move ahead, bold and confident. Continue to be obedient. Continue to serve. Continue to worship. And do not, ecluel. Don't allow the heart, the heat, and the toil that the enemy will attack you with while you're waiting for your prodigals to come to Christ to make you collapse in your faith and trust. Stay in the harvest field. Remain standing. Continue to work. The Lord is going to bring it to pass. Trust him with the promise. Trust him with the process. Trust him with the plan. And trust him with your prodigal. May God add a blessing of this devotional to your life as you wait for the deliverance and salvation of your prodigal son and daughter. We've reached the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and at this time we break into a musical interlude and play two numbers that I hope will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And then when we return with the second half, we'll be entering a time of prayer, petition, and supplication and intercession for the requests that we have. There is still time to get your prayer request in. If you type it in, we'll see it. And we will raise it up before the throne of grace. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't become discouraged. Let's all pray for our prodigal sons and daughters. We want their names to be written in the book of life. We want them to be saved, covered in the blood of the Lamb, and to enter eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is theirs if they turn to Christ. So let's break into our musical interlude, and then we shall return afterwards with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Be blessed and stay tuned.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that he will not forgive. Bring it to the cross and let it die so you can. It's got you battered and bound, struggling for strength. Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take a hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. the cross. Find hope and forgiveness.
Needle at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross.
Wow, what a blessed musical number. Your grace still amazes me. And Nail It to the Cross. We praise God for those two musical numbers. Before we enter our time of prayer, and again, there is still time to get your prayer requests in if you type it in, I have some announcements to make. In future podcasts of Parents of Prodigals, we will be having some guests on the program. We will be having our dear sister, Maria de la Cruz, who will be giving her testimony as a prodigal and how she came to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will announce when she will be on our podcast to provide her testimony. In addition, we will have a gentleman by the name of Larry Weingartner. Larry Weingartner is the group leader, the facilitator of a support group in upstate New York in Binghamton. And the name of the support group? Parents of Prodigals. It is a support group praying, interceding, and seeking the Lord on behalf of parents in that area, believers who have unsaved sons and daughters, whose salvation that they are praying for. He will be coming on our podcast at a later date to talk about his ministry and shed his insights on being the parent of a prodigal. And then we will have a mental health therapist, a Christian counselor by the name of Fred Jacoby. Fred Jacoby. Now, I would never dismiss the roles of the demonic influences and the satanic influences in the lives of our prodigal sons and daughters. The enemy is indeed at work in their lives. And there are demonic and satanic supernatural evil strongholds we need to pull down. However, many times, many of our prodigals are suffering from mental illness, depression, low self-esteem, which of course can be exacerbated by the demonic, I believe, firmly. But again, suffering from low self-esteem or depression, maybe suffering from anxiety or worry or other emotional or mental health issues, life trauma. Some of our parents, some of our prodigal children are suffering from addiction to alcohol or drugs. Fred Jacoby, who we're going to have on this podcast soon, is a Christian counselor for Cornerstone Christian Counseling in Johnson City, New York, just outside of Binghamton. And he will be coming on our podcast soon, live and on the air, to talk about our prodigal sons and daughters and mental health and emotional conditions that they may be experiencing, and how can we best pray for them and deal with them and help them. God gives wisdom to physicians and clinicians as well. And he'll be approaching this area of expertise from a biblical and scriptural point of view. We look forward to him being on. He will be, in addition to sharing his insights, taking live questions on the air. And even before that, when I'm aware of the exact date he'll be on, I'll be asking you, the listeners, to send in questions that you may have. He'll be taking live questions on the air, but due to time constraints, we may not be able to take all questions. So if you send in your question, we will present it to him while he's on the air. All this will be taking place in subsequent episodes and podcasts of Parents of Prodigals. That being said, it's time for us to enter the throne room and come before the throne of grace to present our petitions and supplications for the requests that we have. So without further ado, let's get right to it. Join me in intercessory prayer for these requests for prodigals. We received this request recently. It's from a mom who lives in Australia. I will not mention the name. I will respect her privacy unless she gives me authorization to mention it. But now, for now, I will err on the side of discretion and confidentiality. It is a mom who resides in Australia, and she has two daughters, 21 and 19. Their names are Lily and Ruby. Now, both these young ladies were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders in church. One of them, Lily, did 3 months of Bible evangelizing, and both of them did Bible studies for their youth group. However, just over a year ago, both of these young ladies chose to leave the faith, and they went out nightclubbing, out into the world and its lures. And this has been going on for some time, and mom relates that she has been crying and praying and interceding that her daughters return to the faith. And she requests to please join her to pray for their speedy return to their first love, Jesus, and written in the book of life. And I praise God, sister, that you've tuned into our podcast. You may be listening live, or you may be downloading it, whichever. The Spirit of God will move. I touch and agree with you with regards to the urgency that's occurring right now. Time is short. I'll say it again and again and again. Time is short. The next event on the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture, the taking up of believers into the clouds. Whether it's the rapture or an untimely death, God forbid, it is appointed once unto men to die, but after this to judgment. However, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So without any more delay, touch and agree with me right now for this mom and her two daughters. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Our hearts are heavy for this mom in Australia. We reach out in agreement. Distance is no problem for you, Lord. So we touch and agree with her right now for her two daughters, Lily and Ruby. We ask, Lord God, that you see where they are right now. You see what they're doing and who they're hanging out with. You see what has lured them back out into the world, Lord God. This is a tug of war, a spiritual tug of war. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and apparently the enemy has stolen them. And now he seeks to kill and destroy them. Father, we just plead your blood over these two young ladies, Lily and Ruby. We pray that you touch their hearts, touch their minds, speak to them, convict them of their waywardness, Lord God. We ask that you convict them and open up their eyes to their lifestyles and what they're doing. It is an empty life. It is a life that leads to damnation, sorrow, misery. Lord God, the prodigal son left home. He thought he would live high. But you brought him down, Lord God. You had to break him. And Lord, we touch and agree right now for Lily and Ruby. Yes, Lord, do whatever it takes to break the stubbornness, the hardened heart. Maybe they are so enamored by the temptations of the world. Lord God, let them see the hollowness, the emptiness of these worldly pleasures. And right now, Lord God, we come up against the voices, satanic as well as peer voices, maybe friends or acquaintances. We ask, Lord, that you silence the voices of the people and the satanic elements that are whispering in their ears. Come with us. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's have a good time. Forget God. Forget salvation, forget the church, forget Christ, forget eternity. Silence those voices, Lord God. Silence them. Muzzle them. In the name of Jesus, muzzle those voices. Be still and be quiet. We command them in the name of Jesus. Lord God, silence the voices of temptation in their lives. And again, convict them of their sin. And again, Lord, yes, yes, give them both, if necessary, a Damascus Road experience. There is way too much at stake right now, Lord God. We pray for this mom as well, Heavenly Father. Lord, she mentions in the request that she's been crying. Lord, dry her eyes. encourage her heart. Your word says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Lord, help this mom keep her mind stayed on you, focused on you, your ability, your love, your sovereignty, your care, your power. And as she trusts in you, you will keep her in perfect peace. Perfect peace, Lord God. Give her a good night's sleep. No more crying, no more shedding tears. Let the Spirit of God provide strength and comfort and edification to this mom. Help her, Lord God. Help her, Heavenly Father. Just like the song says, while she is waiting, help her to serve you, Lord God. While she is waiting for Lily and Ruby's return, give her a spirit of worship so that she lifts you up in praise and thanksgiving for what's going to happen, the miracle of their return to the faith. And while she is waiting, help her not to faint, to collapse on the harvest field from exhaustion, spiritual heat, discouragement. Lift her up, lift her head up in encouragement. Help her to move forward, bold and confident, and taking every step in complete obedience to you, Lord God. We commit this whole matter, this whole family, these two young ladies into your hands, and we know the testimony is going to come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Wow. We're going to touch and agree right now. Every week we pray for two young men, both of them by the name of Joshua, of all things. And these two young men constantly were facing issues from addiction. And so we pray for them. Now, as far as I know, I do believe one of them did come to salvation. And the other one, I believe, may have not accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, and I'm not sure what their state is, but God knows. God knows all about them. God knows what they're thinking and what their spiritual state is. Our responsibility is to lift them up before the throne of grace. God knows the details, so touch and agree with me right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for these two young men, both of them with a godly name, Joshua, a warrior's name. And so, Lord God, you see the need, whether it's salvation or whether it's, Lord God, strengthening. Meet the need according to what the need is, Lord God. If they both need to get saved, convict them of their sin and bring them to the foot of the cross, confessing their need of a Savior, confessing their sins, and surrendering their lives to you, Lord. It's spiritual strength that they need, Lord God. Perhaps maybe they both did accept you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. Then strengthen them, Lord God, against temptations to go back into the world. The temptation is strong. The enemy wants them to come back. He doesn't care about their souls. He wants them spiritually dead and physically dead. We plead your blood over both these young men, Joshua, Lord God. Protect them, Heavenly Father. Again, silence any voices of temptation that will attempt to lure them back out into the world. We commit them both into your hands, Lord God. We know you're working even now, Heavenly Father. We don't know exactly what you're doing, but you're working. You know what you're doing. And so we trust you. We worship you and we praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. And it's my understanding that one of these young ladies, I believe, did recommit their life to the Lord. I believe it was Valentina who accepted Christ. And she has put several posts up of reading scripture and giving glory to God. Now, that was a while back. As far as I know, Gabby and Angela, of course, I'm not sure if they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Be it as it may, We're going to lift all three of these young ladies up to the Lord, who at one time were in bondage to a variety of things, perhaps depression or a low self-esteem or different lifestyles. Touch and agree with me right now for these three young ladies. God knows the details, as always. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless he knows about it. Let's pray for these three young ladies. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Gabby, Valentina, and Angela before you, Lord God. And you see the need that each one of these young ladies has. You see the issues that they're facing. It could be addiction, could be depression, low self-esteem, hostility to the gospel. It could be being cynical, being bitter, whatever it is, Lord God. Tear down any walls, any barriers that exist that are keeping them from surrendering their lives totally and completely to you, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit convict them of sin if it's needed, Lord God. Convict them of sin. Convict them of their waywardness. Convict them of their need to surrender their lives completely and totally to you, Lord God. Open up their eyes to what's happening in the world. Give them a real sense of their mortality. They're not going to live forever. They may be young, but again, your word says it is appointed once unto men to die. The rich young ruler, yes, young ruler, rich and young and a ruler, and he entered eternity. We lift all three of them up, Lord God. Bring them to the foot of the cross, Lord. We've been praying for them for a while. So what? We'll continue to pray for them. Men are always to pray and not to faint. And we're going to be like the woman who is knocking on the door of the judge, the unjust judge, continuously knocking till we get satisfaction and an answer. And so we continuously knock and we believe for the deliverance and salvation of these three young ladies. We commit them into your hands, Lord God. In Jesus' name, yes, remove the scales from their eyes, Lord God, so that they see the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a dear sister in the Lord named China. China is the adult daughter of my dear brother Jamie, our sound man, and his lovely wife, a godly woman, India. And it wasn't that long ago, actually it was about over a year ago, that China was delivered from a lifestyle that she was living, and she surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. But the enemy is not going to allow this to go unchallenged. You and I both know that. He will always try to lure believers, new believers, back into the world. He'll try to convince them not to overdo it. Try to keep them away from reading the word or going to church. Maybe a little bit of religion is good, but don't overdo it. Lies from the enemy. We're going to pray for China right now for her strength in the Lord. Touch and agree with me right now for my dear sister China. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for China's deliverance and salvation. Lord, you saw where she was and where she is now. Her name is written in the book of life. And she will be attending the marriage supper of the Lamb once she gets raptured. So we thank you and we praise you for the work you did in her life. But now, Lord God, we pray for her perseverance in the faith. Help her, Lord God, to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but to seek counsel in your word, living according to your precepts. Strengthen her against the temptation to stand in the way of sinners. Unsaved friends and associates may try to get her to hang out with them, to go drinking or whatever, Lord God. We ask you right now, Heavenly Father, to strengthen her so that she doesn't stand in the way of sinners. We ask you, Lord God, to help her so that she doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. She may be hanging around people, or people may be ridiculing her faith, persecuting and making fun of her. Lord God, strengthen my sister China so that she remains steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Turn my sister China into an Esther, into a Ruth, into a Sarah, into a Priscilla, Lord God. Make her a powerful, uncompromising, consecrated woman of God, hungry for your word, and a prayer warrior. Let it be real in her life, Lord God, what it says in the book of Joshua. This word of the law shall not depart out of her mouth, but she will meditate on it day and night. And then she'll have great success. Help her to meditate constantly on your word. Bring your word to her remembrance, Lord God. When she's discouraged, let scripture passages of encouragement come to mind. When she's feeling down, bring scripture verses of joy and peace come to her mind. When she's tempted, quicken her and strengthen her with your word, with Bible verses against temptation. The Holy Spirit bringing all things to her remembrance. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Help her to wield it like a true swordsman. I commit China into your hands, Lord God. I thank you. Use her in a mighty way in ministry. Bless her walk. Give her a close relationship with you, Lord God. Give her a hunger and a thirst. As a deer pants for water, let China hunger and thirst and pant for a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We received this prayer request not that long ago. A mom writes, please pray for our daughter, Margaret. And Margaret was saved several years ago, but she has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life. And she is now 20 years old, and she has moved away, and she is now caught up in an ungodly relationship. And so now we need to pray for this young lady, for deliverance from this stronghold. It is indeed a stronghold. Let's touch and agree right now for Margaret. Heavenly Father, truly a stronghold. Some things are more formidable strongholds than others, Lord God. And you see, Lord God, the sin and the lifestyle that this young lady is entrenched in. The enemy has her in his hand and has tightened his grip. But Lord God, open up the enemy's hand. Make him release his grip on her. We pray for Margaret's deliverance, first of all, Lord God. That you rescue her from the enemy's camp. Drag her out. Just like the same way you dragged out Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Grab her by the hand and pull her out of that ungodly lifestyle and environment. So that she becomes saved. The salvation of her physical life and spiritual life, Lord. Convict her, again, Lord God, of the waywardness of her lifestyle. Open up her eyes to the truth of the gospel. Touch her heart, Lord God. Touch her heart. We commit Margaret into your hands, Heavenly Father. And we pray for these parents, these family members, that you strengthen them to continue to believe. Lord, you will answer this prayer. Help them to trust you with the process and with your timing, Lord God. You have the perfect method. As for God, his way is perfect. Your way is perfect, Lord God. Help these family members to believe that your way is perfect. And you'll bring Margaret's deliverance and salvation to pass in your own way and in your own time. Move mightily. This is a battle between the forces of darkness and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. We just commit this young lady into your hands, Lord God. We just praise you and worship you. We thank you, Lord God, ahead of time. We know it's going to come to pass. We don't know when. We don't know how. We trust you completely with this situation, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord, deliver Margaret and save her. And strengthen these family members again. As always, Lord, like we said before, we'll say it again. That the family members continue to serve, to worship, and not faint, and walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for a man by the name of Edgar, a young man named Edgar. And Edgar is the adult son of a dear brother and sister from the church that my wife and I attend, Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. The parents are Frank and Rose. And they have an adult son named Edgar who knows the gospel. He knows that he needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I can't read Edgar's mind. Perhaps he thinks that he's saved. Perhaps he thinks that he's good enough to get into heaven. All he has to do is read his Bible and pray now and then, or go to church on occasion. But has he surrendered his life to Christ? No. We need to touch and agree that God removed the scales from Edgar's eyes and that he come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Touch and agree with me right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for Edgar right now. And we pray that all hindrances that coming between his heart and his mind and the truth of the gospel be melted away by the fire, the convicting fire of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your work in Edgar's life, the work of convicting, the work of opening up his eyes to the truth, the work of softening his heart if it's hardened, the work of removing the scales from his eyes if he's blinded, the work of opening up his mind if he's closed-minded and doesn't want to hear the truth, doesn't want to receive it. We rebuke the spirit of deception in his life. He may think there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is death. And so we rebuke any spirit of deception that's tricking Edgar into believing he's okay. He's not. We pray for his deliverance and salvation right now. Convict him. Send people his way. A friend, a co-worker, a neighbor, an acquaintance, a stranger who will be salt and light and testify to the truth of the gospel to him. Give Edgar no rest. Don't give him a good night's sleep, Lord God. Wake him up. Speak to him throughout the watches of the night. Maybe the still inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Maybe a dream. Maybe a vision. A series of events. Whatever it takes, Lord God. Stakes are too high. The price is eternal soul. The eternity in hell. Deliver and save Edgar. You're working. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Matthew. And this request came in a while back. Matthew's mom had sent it in, and Matthew was struggling against suicidal thoughts and occult involvement, and there were a variety of legal issues that were taking place, and mom, of course, is faithfully praying for her son. Maybe that God even used these events to break Matthew down so that he receives the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Let's touch and agree right now. For mom and Matthew, Lord God, we just touch and agree for Matthew's mom, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen her, Lord God. It's easy to get discouraged, Heavenly Father. The enemy will do the best he can to tell this mom, your son's not going to get saved. He's too difficult. He's too hardened. Move on to somebody else. Or maybe the enemy will lie to him and really lie and say to her, he's not one of the elect. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. Matthew is that whosoever. So Lord, strengthen mom. Shut her ears to the lies of the enemy. Silence the enemy with his lies and discouragements. Put a hedge of protection around mom and strengthen her faith and trust in you. We pray for Matthew right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man attached to Matthew in his life. The enemy that's keeping him from receiving you, Lord Jesus, as his Savior. We rebuke the forces of darkness. We cast them away from Matthew right now. Work in Matthew's life. Work in his life in a mighty way to bring about his deliverance and salvation. You're working even right now, Lord God. I know you are. You are faithful, and no one who trusts in you will be disgraced or ashamed. It's not a waste of time to trust you, Lord God. You'll bring it to pass. We praise you for Matthew's deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to lift up in prayer a young man by the name of Johnny. And Johnny is the adult son of a dear sister. Johnny is facing issues from alcoholism. But the greater issue is that he's not saved. God forbid, if Johnny were to die, he'd go into the lake of fire. But we're going to pray that his name get written in the book of life, and that he surrender his life to Jesus Christ. Touch and agree with me right now for Johnny. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for praying moms who stay up at night on their knees and intercede on behalf of their wayward and backslidden and unsafe children. And so, Lord God, we just lift up mom, that you strengthen her and that you comfort her and that you encourage her so that she stay on her knees and continuously to pray for her son, Johnny. We pray right now for Johnny, Lord God. You see the issues that he's facing. Do whatever it takes, Lord God. Do whatever it takes to bring Johnny to the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus, we break any curses placed on Johnny that's binding him from receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We plead the blood over Johnny. We rebuke and pull down any stronghold that's binding him and blocking him. Put it in his heart to come to church, if necessary, Lord God. Do what it takes, Lord. Speak to his heart so that he turns to you, Lord God. You are the way. There is no other way. You are the truth. If he's seeking a way, it isn't through a bottle. Speak to Johnny and convict him that you are the way. If he's seeking truth, you are the truth, Lord Jesus. And he's seeking to have an abundant life, you, Lord Jesus, are the life. And no one can come unto the Father but by you. We commit his deliverance and salvation. We entrust Johnny into your hands, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Curtis. Curtis is the adult son of a dear sister in Christ who resides in Texas. And for a while, we have been praying for Curtis. And it wasn't that long ago when mom testified, and she came on the air live in one of our podcasts to testify regarding Curtis's deliverance from bondage and the fact that Curtis had surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And mom continues to pray for her son, Curtis, and God has performed miracles and has opened doors. In addition to Curtis surrendering his life to Christ, the Lord blessed his life with a decent paying job, stability, and peace. God knows all things. He makes all things new, and he made all things new in Curtis's life. But again, the enemy would love to dismantle and destroy all that. So let's touch and agree for two things. One, for mom's continuous strength in the Lord. Then we're going to pray for Curtis. Heavenly Father, we just lift up this Texas mom, Lord God, and her family. We thank you for a consecrated, dedicated, committed, praying mom who is lifting her son up before you, Lord God, continuously praying for him and bringing him before the throne of grace to continue to bless mom, continue to bless her home and her life and her walk with you. Let your anointing be upon her. Give her a strong sense of your presence. Help her to walk in obedience, Lord God. Help her to walk in faith and in strength. Help her to, Lord God, again, live a life worthy of her calling as a woman of God, consecrated and committed to you. And now we lift up her son, Curtis, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for his salvation, Lord God, for his deliverance and salvation. We also thank you, Lord God, for turning things around. You make all things new, Lord God. You delivered him, you saved him, you washed him, you cleaned him up, you gave him new life. We praise you and we thank you for that. You make all things new, Lord God. And right now we pray a hedge of protection around Curtis, a battalion, an army of angels guarding Curtis's soul and guarding his life. Strengthen him against the desires of the enemy that will try to lure him back into the world or even discourage him. The works of the enemy will not prosper in Curtis's life. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Christ over him. We rebuke any spirit of destruction, any spirit of deception, any spirit of temptation, any spirit of discouragement. Flood him. Flood him, Lord God, with the power of your spirit. Give Curtis an upper room experience. Let tongues of fire fall upon him. The power, the fire, Holy Ghost fire in Curtis's life right now. We just lift Curtis up in prayer. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for his deliverance and salvation. Thank you, Lord God. We bind any strong man, any satanic strong man that's going to try to come up against him. We cancel any contracts against him, satanic contracts. Any powers of darkness that are set up against him, we rebuke them. Take your hands off Curtis. He is God's property. He is a man of God. Turn Curtis into Abraham. Turn him into a Joshua. Turn him into an Enoch and let him walk with you, Lord God. Turn him into a John the Baptist. Make him a voice crying in the wilderness, witnessing to people. Use him in a mighty way, Lord God. You have a plan for him, Lord God, and you're fulfilling it. We thank you and we praise you for Curtis's deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. Well, we've come to the conclusion of this week's podcast, the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and we hope that it was a blessing and an encouragement to you. Now, there is still time. You can still get your prayer request in. We just don't pray for these requests on the podcast. If you go on the Parents of Prodigals website, parentsofprodigals.us, and there is a tab there where you can submit your prayer requests and we'll bring it before the throne of grace during the week and bring it up in our podcast. So you can submit your prayer request anytime. The next time we will be on the air will be next Thursday, April 4th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we hope that you will join us for next week's podcast. Until then, if you are the parent of a prodigal son and daughter, and you live in New York, California, Colorado, North or South Carolina, Virginia or West Virginia, if you're the parent of an unsaved son or daughter, or the guardian of a young person who is backslidden and wayward, or who has never surrendered their life to Christ, and you want their name to be written in the book of life, and you live in Tennessee, Texas, Illinois, New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Indiana, Arizona, Montana, or New Jersey, or Utah, if you're the mother or father of a wayward, backslidden, or unsaved son or daughter, you're aware of the signs of the times. Time is short. and you don't want them to enter a Christless eternity or get left behind when the rapture takes place. And you live in Kentucky, Mexico, Iowa, Michigan, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, or Nebraska. If you're the parent or guardian of an unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son or daughter, and you want to see them have eternal life, you want them delivered, you want whatever stronghold they're involved in torn down, you want them to know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, you want them to have life abundant, you want them to have eternal life, and you want their names written in the book of life, you want them to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you live in Mexico, Canada, Australia, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Japan, Russia, or Ireland. If you're the parent, the mother, or the father of a backslidden, wayward, or unsaved son or daughter, whether they're a teenager or an adult, whether they live at home or outside the home, and you are praying and believing for their deliverance, and that they come to the foot of the cross and surrender their lives to Christ. If you are the parent of a prodigal, continue in prayer, being watchful therein, and watch the road. Watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal will be on it. Until next Thursday, April 4th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is Brother Alan Weir wishing you a good night and God bless.